This podcast is sponsored by the book, The Concept, A Critical and Honest Look at God and Religion, by Bo Bennett. Challenge your beliefs and explore faith through science and reason. Discover more at godtheconcept.com.
All right, so we're back and ready to dive into something pretty intense today. We're taking on the book of Revelation.
Oh, yeah.
The final book of the New Testament.
It's a big one.
It is. And it's known for its vivid imagery, prophecies about the end times, all that good stuff.
Right.
And the source material we're looking at today, it takes a secular look at Revelation.
Okay.
Analyzing it with modern and critical thinking.
Yeah.
So get ready for some mind-bending symbolism.
Love that.
Some fascinating contradictions and some questions about morality, science, and, well, divine justice. You ready for this?
I'm ready. Let's do it. It's amazing how, like, even though Revelation was written centuries ago, it still gets people talking.
It does.
Debating. Yeah. And it raises questions that are still relevant to us today.
Absolutely. And one of the things that really jumped out at me from the source was this idea of God's wrath. Revelation really depicts it through these catastrophic events, you know, almost like a divine punishment for humanity's sins. But the source raises this question, like, does that really align with how we understand a benevolent God?
Yeah, it's a tough question. It really challenges our modern understanding of justice and morality. I mean, today we tend to focus on individual accountability, like you're responsible for your own actions.
Right.
But Revelation seems to be suggesting something more like a collective consequence.
Yeah.
Where entire populations suffer for the sins of, like, few.
It's heavy stuff. It makes you think about how, I don't know, our cultural values and beliefs about justice have changed over time.
For sure.
And it also makes you question how we interpret those intense images in Revelation. For instance, you've got stars falling to earth, beasts with multiple heads.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, scientifically speaking, a star falling to earth, that would be...
Yeah, that's not good.
Not good at all.
Not a good situation.
No. The source uses that example to show the tension between taking Revelation literally and what we know about science.
Right.
And, you know, most scholars agree that those descriptions are meant to be symbolic. But it is interesting to think about why those specific images were chosen. Like, what do they represent on a deeper level?
It's like, what's the message behind the metaphor?
Exactly. And it reminds me of another point. The source brought up these numerical contradictions in Revelation. So at one point, it mentions 144,000 people.
Okay.
From the 12 tribes of Israel being sealed for salvation.
Right.
But then later, it describes a great multitude that no one could count also receiving salvation. So what do we make of that?
Oh, it's a puzzle, isn't it? I mean, it makes you wonder if those numbers are literal or if they're symbolic of something else. You know, maybe it's trying to emphasize that salvation is inclusive, that it's open to everyone, not just a select few.
That's a really interesting interpretation. Mm. The source also talked about how some of the imagery in Revelation has been used, well, not in the best ways throughout history.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like to justify things that go against our modern values.
Yeah, it's important to remember that interpretations of these texts, they can have real world consequences.
Absolutely.
And that's something we can't ignore. Like, you've got Revelation's depiction of this final battle between good and evil.
Right.
Which has, unfortunately, been used to, you know, kind of demonize opposing groups.
Yeah.
And even justify violence in the name of righteousness, even. It really highlights the danger of interpreting any text, especially a religious one, without really thinking it through critically.
It's so true. It makes you realize how important it is to understand the historical context that Revelation was written in.
Definitely.
The source suggests that a lot of its themes, like the anxiety about persecution, the longing for a just world, it was all probably shaped by the challenges faced by early Christians.
Right sense. It reminds us that no text exists in a vacuum.
Right.
When we try to understand Revelation, we have to ask ourselves, how much of it is a reflection of the specific concerns of that time?
Yeah.
And how much of it speaks to these universal human experiences and spiritual truths that go beyond any specific time or place?
So where does all of this leave us? I feel like approaching Revelation requires this balance of understanding the historical context, appreciating the symbolism, and really engaging with the tough questions it raises.
I think that's a great way to put it. It encourages us to be active readers, not passive consumers of information.
I like that.
Revelation, even with its complex imagery and challenging themes, it can offer us valuable insights into the human condition, our desire for justice, and, you know, our search for meaning in a world that can often feel very chaotic and uncertain.
Yeah, I mean, it leaves us with a lot to think about.
For sure.
And if Revelation is primarily symbolic, then what are those symbols trying to tell us today about our own individual journeys and our collective responsibility to create a more just and compassionate world?
That's the question, isn't it?
It is.
Something to ponder.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Well, on that note,
yeah,
we'll leave you to ponder those symbols. Until next time.
Until next time.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everyone.